Psalm. The Psalms, the 16th Psalm. Psalm number 16 and verse 5. Psalm 16, verse 5. We thank our ladies for playing this morning and for the offertory and for each one that has a part in our ministry week by week. Psalm 16, verse 5, if you found your place here, why don't we stand together, give you a chance to stretch out a little bit, and follow along as I begin reading at verse 5 of Psalm 16. The Lord is a portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we commit this time to you now, Lord, and I pray you would be glorified. You'd be glorified as we look at your word together, realizing the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is true. It is forever. It is written by God. It is God-breathed. And it gives life and light to those who will listen and follow and look to the Lord who gave us your word. We just pray now you'll speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach. Help us all, Lord. We are a needy people. We are a needy nation, Lord. We do pray for our nation. Pray for our president and our leaders, that you will guide them, Lord. But our hope is in you. And we trust you, Lord, and we love you. Help us just to love you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and thank you so much. What do you hope for? What do you hope for? Where do you fix your hope? What are your dreams? You have some, right? I looked up the word hope, and it's defined as a feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. Now, I like that. Sometimes I hope something will happen. I just hope this all works out all right. I hope I can pay my bills, right? I hope this. I have this feeling of expectation, and I have a desire for something to happen. We hope our kids turn out right. I still hope that. My kids are grown, and we're still praying for them. You always pray for your kids and your grandkids, but we hope they'll turn out all right. I used to hope that none of my kids would end up in prison, and praise the Lord, so far God's answered that prayer. But I had that hope. Lord, don't let my kids go to prison for some reason. I don't know why I had that. Well, that wasn't very faithful and trusting. But the way when they fought with each other growing up at home gave me reason to worry about that. I thought, these kids keep going this way, and it's not looking good for them. Now, one of our sons, Danny, he did get handcuffed by the police one time. He's kind of proud of it, really. But he talked his way out of it. But he was speeding, riding his motorcycle, and Clearwater, Florida, too fast, weaving in and out of traffic, and they pulled him over, and they threw him in the back of the car, and they handcuffed him, and he says, well, I need to call my boss and let him know I'll be late. They said, you're going to work? He goes, yeah, I'm going to work. So they unhandcuffed him because of that, and then they told him what an amazing driver he was. You don't tell a kid that's in 20 or 21 years old, whatever, that was really cool, but they did that. So anyway, he didn't get handcuffed, but he kind of talked his way out of it. So he learned to drive from his mom's example, not mine, right? We hope we don't get a terminal illness. We hope our health remains good. We hope that of our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids. We hope we don't get into a disastrous nuclear war with Russia or China or North Korea or Iran. We vainly put our hope in Congress and in the president to balance a budget. Why would we ever hope that? We don't. We're realistic. We know it's probably not going to, but instead we have, about a $1 trillion deficit each year. So we're going in debt each year that much, and we're already $22 trillion in debt. Not much hope that things are looking better. Not much hope that they're going to balance the budget. In the next presidential election in 2020, we hope it goes the way we want it to go, right? Whatever way that is. We hope there will be an end to abortion. We had hope that we wouldn't be so blind that we would legalize so-called homosexual marriage. But we did. And the Supreme Court approved of it. And then you have the transgenderism movement. We don't just tolerate transgenderism, but we promote it, and we now celebrate it, and now we're getting in trouble if we stand up against these things. Shame on us. People need Christ, don't they? We need the gospel. That's our answer, right? But we hope for these things. We hope, we wish, we desire. But we often nervously wish sometime with little assurance that our wish is going to come true. But for the Christian, concerning God and his promises, we have a confident expectation of what God promised. We know what God promises, he will faithfully do. Verse 9, the psalmist said, "My flesh also shall rest in hope." You and I can rest in hope in God this morning. We read in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, "All the promises of God are yes, and in him amen to the glory of God." All his promises are yes. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." I know whom I believed in, and so I have a confident hope. Psalm 42:5, you're close to there. You can turn to Psalm 42:5 if you like, but let me read it. The psalmist asks this, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Or why am I disturbed within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. As a result of our great confident expectation and our hope, we can pray to the God of our life. I love that passage. I love that verse. In Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Are you abounding? Are you abounding in hope? Are you abounding in rejoicing and confident expectation today? Now, if we have our hope in Congress, our hope in the president, so on, we don't have much hope. Most of these things are beyond our control. But no matter what the circumstances are or will be, for the believer, this can be a great time to be alive. And it is. It's the most wonderful time to be alive. Say, why do you say that, preacher? Because this is the only time I'm alive, is now. I wasn't alive 100 years ago. I won't be alive 100 years from now, or 30 years from now, or maybe 20 years from now. I might not be alive 10 years from now. I may not be alive past tomorrow, right? But we have a hope. a confident expectation. We have hope and satisfaction as a Christian who chooses to trust God and live for Him and believe in and obey His world. Word. The world is looking for hope and satisfaction. They're looking for some sense of meaning to life in this senseless and meaningless life. But nothing and no one can give it. Not the president, as much as he would say he would like to. Not the UN, not the Congress, not the banker, not the credit card, not even the preacher, the doctor, the psychologist. But the Christian, the one who puts his life in God's hand through Jesus Christ, has a sure hope, a confident, a complete confidence and satisfaction in the Lord. Does that describe you? You are satisfied, you are confident, you are living with hope. Psalm 16:11. David here gives three reasons for having hope. Thou wilt show me the path of life, number one. In thy presence is fullness of joy, number two. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore, number three. Direction, delight, and may I say delicacies. Pleasures forevermore. All promised from the hand of God to His children. Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory ain't got nothing on us, God's children, does he? God promises direction. He will direct you. Thou wilt show me the path of life. He promises delight. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And he promises delicacies, pleasures forevermore. A delicacy is a delicious, rare, highly prized item of food. Well, we have more delicacies, greater delicacies than just food in the Lord. If we compare these wonderful promises to that which the world offers, what a contrast. Direction for the world, for the unbeliever, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Delight, momentary, briefly, momentary joy dependent upon good circumstances and delicacies, just sinful pleasures which will destroy in the end. The path of life, fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. These speak of satisfaction, like a Snickers, right? Satisfied. I like that motto. They used to have that, but for a little while, and then, you know, after you finish eating it, you know, I can eat a half another one or so. So it never really ultimately brings satisfaction. But the Lord does. Satisfaction, the feeling of pleasure that comes when a need or desire is fulfilled. That's the Lord. The feeling of pleasure that comes when a need or desire is fulfilled. God fulfills every need and every desire that we have when we give them to the Lord. Contentment. It's satisfaction and contentment. Contentment. God is enough. Contentment. God is more than enough for me, right? People everywhere at all times are looking for satisfaction. We need satisfaction. We long for satisfaction. We search for it. And guess what? We found it. We found it. Number one, God's promised direction, the path of life. As a kid, I love paths. We live by the river. We live really close in our growing up in South Central Nebraska on the farm. We lived really close to about a quarter of a mile away from the Republican River. And I love going over there. Of course, Mom didn't even know where I was. I could have drowned. I about did drown when I walked out on the ice in the river one time. Nobody knew where I was. But we did that back in the 50s and 60s, right? But I love finding paths over there. And a lot of times it would be a deer path. And if I found a path, I'm following that path. But I never seen the animal that made the path. Unless it was a path in the pasture and following the pathway that cows made. But sometimes it was disappointing when the path came to an end. No pot of gold, no treasure chest or animal at the end. and never seemed to see the very creatures that made the pathways. Our country was built on pathways, right? It was built on pathways. Frontiersmen blazed trails across America. Westward paths were carved out, and thousands followed them, looking for a better life, looking for adventure, looking for prosperity. There's gold in them there hills, right? The Oregon Trail, the Mormon Trail, the Santa Fe Trail, the Iditarod Trail in Alaska, the Lewis and Clark Trail, California Trail, Pony Express Trail, and others. And though long and often dangerous, hopes of adventure and success and satisfaction attracted people to go at great danger many times, and many didn't make it. The pathways continue to this day, don't they? Though in many different forms of those in bygone years, we now have the cyberspace trail, and it goes everywhere, right? Goes to places it shouldn't be going. And it seems to dominate our culture today through the use of internet, cell phones, and GPS mapping, and communication via satellites. Whether they be pathways on land, ocean, or sky, we've always been dependent on various forms of trails, paths. They're an everyday part of our life, aren't they? But of all the trails, pathways, and forms of travel and communication that we take, all seem essential, right? I mean, a cell phone's essential. Who can survive without a cell phone today? I leave my house without my cell phone, and I may just be going downtown, and I'll turn around and go back and get it, because it's almost like I feel like I left my wallet at home, and I do that too. It's really bad when you show up somewhere and you don't have your cell phone or your wallet, so you can't call your wife because you don't have your cell phone to bring your wallet, so you're just out of luck, right? I don't know how we used to survive without it. But none is so essential or so necessary as the path of life. I need to be on the path of life. Every one of us is a traveler going down a path who must at some time come to a fork in the road. I came to a fork in the road in 1974 when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I had to make a decision. Am I going to keep traveling the road to hell or the road to heaven? Many paths lean from this fork in the road, but there's only one path of life. I am the way, I am the pathway, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, Jesus said. I am the way. I am the way. All other paths, and what is a path but a means by which to reach your destination? All other paths, though attractive and well-worn, eventually and surely lead to death. The broad way that leads to destruction. They seem right. There's a way which seems right to a man, but the end is death. We are blind travelers, blinded and tripped by sin. And we need a guide. We need someone to show us a way. We need someone to direct our steps, don't we? Thou wilt show me the path of life. God will show me if I'm willing to follow, if I'm willing to listen. Are you listening? God loves us. Christ, the great shepherd, leads us. He wants us to be on that path, and he wants us to know where we're going and to have direction and purpose in our life. And he gives life to those who seek his direction. Let's look at some of God's promised paths. The path of truth, Psalm 25, verse 8 through 10. The path of truth. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. He will teach sinners in the pathway. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Wouldn't you like to walk his way? Not your way, his way. Paths, ruts, like wagon wheels making ruts because they travel the same route. That's what I need in my life when it comes to serving and following the Lord. There's a pathway of the Bible, Psalm 119:35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Years ago, we were headed back to Greenville, South Carolina in our Volkswagen, and we were headed from our home in Nebraska through St. Louis to Greenville, and we were gawking away. It was about midnight or so, I think. We were gawking away at that big arch, you know, and the next thing I knew, I was not on the right road, and I took a bad wrong turn. I ended up down below all this highway system, and it was dark, and I went to a gas station there. It's the first time in my life, you got to remember, this is back in the 1970s, first time in my life I ever saw a gas station with Mars on it. And the guys mingling around there looked like some pretty shady characters. And I said, I need gas, but I'm not getting out of this car. And somehow we found our way back. But it was no fun being on the wrong pathway. And that's the way it is. We have no delight when we get off of God's path. Oh, and there's pleasure for a time, but it's short-lived. We need to follow his word and thus follow the Lord, for he will not lean apart from his word. Get in the Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible every day. Read it and heed it. Meditate on it. If you're troubled today, could it be it's because you're not found in the word of God? You're not reading his promises and claiming them? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. And it's not a light that shines, you know, 5 miles down the road. The lamp in those days was just a small lamp powered by oil that gave off just enough light to probably light one step at a time. Not like these high-powered flashlights we have today that shine down your street and you can see what your neighbor's doing out in the dark 3 blocks away, you know. That's not very nice to do either, but it's kind of fun. But that's not the kind of light he's talking about. So there are dangers we can't see ahead, and we're not supposed to be able to see them. Okay, there are things in my life, I don't know what's coming, but I don't want to know. I don't want to know, because I know God will take care of my needs today. That's why I shouldn't worry about tomorrow, right? But I do. Like you, I worry about these things. And then God convicts me. Okay, Terry, you're not trusting. You're worrying. Okay, God's going to lead me. Get on that pathway again. But how dangerous to walk without the light of God. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Proverbs 1, 10 and 15. Now, the world beckons to try me. Don't live a sheltered life. You only have one life to live. You got to live it up and enjoy all that it has to offer. But God says, refrain your foot from that pathway. Hold back. Keep your foot from their path. In sports, you got to keep your feet in bounds, right? Keep your feet in bounds or the play is dead. And we're to keep our feet within the boundary of God's protection, and so we don't stray. We don't let lust lead us astray, like into adultery or pornography, a pathway on which many venture to their destruction. And it's glamorized everywhere today. Television, magazines, movies, the internet. But we need to take God's stern warning against it. God warns us against the lustful, adulterous woman in Proverbs 2, 10 to 22, whose ways are crooked and evil. And God says he wants to deliver us from the strange woman. And her paths lean unto the dead and keep us from the paths of righteousness. So if we're on that pathway, especially men, because we're so tempted, we need to get off of it and get back on the pathway to God. If you're going down that pathway that might lead to adultery or pornography, there it's time to turn away and turn to God. And you can, and there is help. We need to get the help that God supplies for us. But we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He will direct us. But we get our eyes off of him, and then we go astray. And we're pulled every which way. Enter in at the straight gate, Matthew 7:13. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Narrow is the pathway that leads to life, and few there be that find it. So which pathway are you on? Which pathway are you on? Straight is narrow, difficult to be entered, and few will truly be saved, whereas many, most, will be on the pathway to hell. The broad way is easier, and you and I are tempted to go back that way. God says, don't do it. Don't do it. Many say, well, all roads lead to heaven. No, there's only one road, one pathway. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, the Lord says. So the path of life goes through the path of death, but God carries us through even that pathway, right? Are you confident you'll make it? When you die, will you be on that pathway that goes to the Lord, to heaven? God's promised direction is a path of life. Secondly, God's promised delight is fullness of joy. God's promised delight is fullness of joy. Not a little joy, a lot of joy. Joy is not an option for the Christian. You can't just take it or leave it. It's necessary. It's even a command of the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. Oswald Chambers said, a man never knows joy until he gets rightly related to God. Satan's claim is that he can make a man satisfied without God, but all he succeeds in doing is to give him happiness and pleasure, never joy. And happiness is temporary, right? Oswald Chambers also said, if we have no delight in God, it is because we are too far away from the childlike relationship to him. If there is an internal struggle on, get it put right, and you will experience delight in him. And then he said, joy is different from happiness, because happiness depends on what happens. There are elements in our circumstances that we cannot help. Joy is independent of them all. I can have joy no matter what's going on around me or even inside me. I can have joy. A man is joyful when he fulfills God's design, when he fulfills the design of God's creation of him, and that joy can never be quenched. And then Spurgeon said, it's an unfortunate thing for the Christian to become melancholy. If there's a man in the world that has a right to have a bright, clear face and a flashing eye, it is a man whose sins are forgiven him, who's saved with God's salvation. In thy presence is fullness of joy. It's having a relationship with God through Christ that brings joy. I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Joy in his presence. When I was dating Roberta, I wanted to be with her all the time. I was not happy unless I was with her. I wasn't. And I had to get right back to her. As soon as I went home, I thought, man, I can't wait to see her again. That's the way it ought to be with our relationship with the Lord. I can't wait to be with the Lord again. And he's always with me, but am I always with him? Just some verses on joy. Solomon's dedication of the newly built temple, he was joyful in God's goodness. And on the 23rd day in the seventh month, he sent people away. And this is in 2 Chronicles 7:10. He sent people into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness of the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Psalm 4:7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine is increased. I look all around, I see people prospering, and then I realize God's put more gladness in my heart than in anyone's life that's without the Lord, no matter what they have. God delights in meeting your needs, and God finds joy in bringing peace and joy to your heart. He is everything we need. So why do we go anywhere else for joy? Joy is not dependent on circumstances. God's word gives joy. In Psalm 19:8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Does God's joy, does God's word bring us joy? According to Psalm 19:8, it should. Psalm 119:14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much in all as all riches, right? If you were given the choice of $10 million or a Bible, which would you choose? Say, you can either have a Bible or you can have $10 million. We choose a Bible, right? The Bible, because that $10 million is not going to get us to heaven. It's not going to bring us joy. It's not going to bring us peace. But the Bible will, because the Bible reveals God and his truth. I rejoiced at thy word as one that finds great spoil. Psalm 119:162. Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found, and I didn't eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Fullness of joy and salvation. I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Joy and service. Psalm 100. 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Are you serving him with gladness or with a sour face? Serve him happily. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 126, 5. Jesus wants you to have joy, and he gives joy. And that encourages me. No, God doesn't want me to be miserable. He wants me to be happy, joyful, content, and to enjoy the pleasures he offers us. He said in John 15:11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Jesus said that. I'm telling you this so that my joy would stay right with you. Right? And that your joy would be full. He don't want you to have a little joy. He wants you to have a lot of joy every day, every hour, every moment. And you can. If you don't, it's because of your choice. You made the wrong choice. You decided, I'm going to be grumpy. I'm going to get irritated. I'm going to be critical. I'm going to be mad. I'm going to be angry. I'm not going to treat people right. I'm going to yell at my family member. I have a right to yell at my spouse and my kids because I'm not happy. You made that choice. God didn't make that choice. You made it, and you're accountable for it. You're responsible for it. Jesus said in John 16:20, verily I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Verse 22, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. And then he said in verse 24, John 16, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Just ask me, God says. Pray to me. Talk to me. Just talk to me. And I'll give you joy overflowing. John 17:13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy fulfilled in themselves. He's saying, Father, in his great prayer, I want my children to have joy fulfilled in themselves. And he commands us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In the miserable times give thanks. Yeah, in them I can. Even in affliction and trials. Psalm 30, verse 5. His anger endures but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping endures for a night, but joy. Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes. Sorrow is always temporary. A morning will come without clouds. And often now it comes, assuredly it will come in glory in heaven. The sorrows of this life are just for a minute. They're just for a moment, a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more an exceeding eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One Puritan writer said, the world cannot give peace and joy without removing the cross and affliction. Christ gives peace in the middle of trouble. The Spirit within us causes us to glory in tribulation, to rejoice under the cross, and to triumph even in death. We've got it made, folks. We ought to be the happiest, most joyful, excited people alive all the time. But we aren't. Why? Because we're selfish. Because we let the flesh take control. Now, how do you know that? Because I have to battle it all the time. I battle it right here. And I know. And I can have joy. Just take it. There's joy in heaven. We don't have time, but Isaiah 35:8-10 talks about the ransom coming to Zion with songs and everlasting joy on their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Flee away. That's what we have, joy in heaven for all eternity. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness for the world, Proverbs 14:13. The hypocrite has no joy. The unsaved have no joy. The triumphing of the wicked is short. The joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment, Job 20:5. So, need direction? God's promise, the path of life. Need delight? God promises fullness of joy. And finally, promise delicacies, pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The right hand is a place of strength, salvation, protection, honor, judgment, righteousness. In other words, if God promises to give pleasure, he can and he will give pleasure because it's at his right hand and thus it is given. Solomon tried to find pleasure in all the things that around him. He says, Ecclesiastes 2:1 and following, I made great works, I built houses, I planted vineyards, I made gardens and orchards, I made pools of water, I had great possessions, I had singers, and I had everything I wanted, whatever my eye desires. This is all Ecclesiastes 2:1-11. And then he looked and he realized it was all vanity. It was all vexation of spirit. It was all like chasing the wind. It never satisfied. He had everything a man could ever desire, but it was all empty. And he realized it. Many people don't realize it. They keep chasing the wind, chasing after vanity, looking for happiness. They're all around us. They're your neighbors, your friends, your family members, and they need the Lord, right? They need to come to know him as Savior, and then they will be satisfied. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasure, for with thee is the fountain of life. That's Psalm 36:8-9. He shall make us drink of the rivers of pleasure. That's what God wants for you and me. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore, delicacy. God is pleased to give us pleasures. Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If we obey him. So all we got to do. All we got to do is just do what he tells us to do and not do what he tells us not to do. He satisfies our mouth with good things. Psalm 103:5. At thy right hand are pleasures, eternal pleasure. As David said in Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we get to heaven. We have a building of God, eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians 5:1. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1:4. And then, of course, heaven itself, Revelation 21, 1, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, the old was passed away, and there was no more sea, and all the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there are no more death, neither sorrow, no crying. What a wonderful day, glorious day that will be. What direction God gives, thou wilt show me the path of life. What delight he provides. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And what delicacies he offers. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I don't know what the future brings, but I know the one who holds the future, as we say. It's in the Lord's hands, but he has promised the path of life, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. Do you have them? Are you enjoying them? Are you rejoicing in him? Are you living for him? Are you forsaking sin and trusting in him who gives true pleasure, not fake pleasure? We talk about fake news, right? Well, Satan offers fake pleasure, and it's everywhere. Are you on that path of life? Do you have direction? And are you willing to follow his direction? Will you come his way? He says, come. He says to the sinners, come and partake of the water of life freely. Come to the cross. Come to Jesus Christ, and he will save you. He died in your place. And if we will but call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. But you must come. You need to come as you are. In my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Do you have the direction you need? Are you willing to follow his direction? Do you have joy? Is it full joy? Is it the kind of joy that can't wait for heaven? A joy that can't be taken from you because you're having a bad day. Who doesn't have a bad day? But still, bad day is even a good day because the Lord is still with you. And he's given me joy in that bad day. And are you seeking pleasures from God? I hope you are. I hope you will. May God have his way in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this promise. May we take these things to heart, Lord, and truly have direction in our lives and follow you. Do your will, Lord. Seek your face. Give us joy in serving you, Lord. We're missing that today. Even Christians are not walking in joy because we are not trusting in you. Our relationship is not personal. It's not what it ought to be. We're going through the motions, Lord. We have a head knowledge, but we don't have a heart knowledge, maybe. Or we're not exercising that childlike faith. We know you. We trust in you as Savior, but we don't have that vital living relationship that you promise us, Lord, because we continue to hang on to the old life and the things of this life that never satisfied. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us and renew a right spirit within us. Restore unto us a joy of thy salvation. Have your way now as we close. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to